supposed to do this. I'm getting hungry.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
Got a girl from the south side. Got brazen hair. First time I seen her walk by, and I about fell off my chair. Had to get her number.
Hour number three, out of bounds. William Quagamush, Kelly Gramlich. We are live inside the Priority One Security Studios. Priority, the number one, security.com. Priority One Security, serious security. Hour number three has a bit of breaking news with regards to ACC basketball. We have the all-conference teams in our inboxes.
Still waiting on mine.
Still waiting
on
mine?
My email is slow.
All right. You know what? It's okay. It's all right. We can, we'll make it count. We'll get the raw Kelly Gramlich reaction
to
this.
Well, I found it on Twitter, so we're good.
Oh, okay. We're good. Texter says, from the 864, you can't say that as a fan, unless you're in the stands yelling, you don't affect an outcome, and then turn around and say you should be rooting for someone and then get upset when we don't want to root for them. I get we want a good outcome, but you have no effect on that as a fan. I am not saying that if you don't root for South Carolina, they will lose. That is a wrong assumption. Has anyone ever said that in the history of time? If you don't, then you will lose. I'm just saying if you do not root for South Carolina, then you are rooting for your team that you root for, ostensibly, to have a lesser chance of getting in the field of 68. I really don't think that's arguable. That's not an arguable point.
Look, we're not sitting here and saying, you, sir, Joe, listening in your car. First of all, thanks for listening, Joe. We do appreciate it. If you don't root for South Carolina, they will lose. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that Joe has that much effect on South Carolina winning a basketball game. I don't believe that Kwok or myself rooting for South Carolina will have that much effect. The point is, it's an interesting discussion because rooting for your arch rival and a win by your arch rival would help you get into the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
And that's something that I think we were just saying, accept it. Even if you don't want them to win, you don't root for them, winning, South Carolina winning is a positive for Clemson.
You should always root for, as a
teams
fan of a team,
you beat.
You should always root for teams you beat to do well this time of year if you're on the bubble. Last year, it didn't matter what anybody on Clemson's schedule did because Clemson was in. This year, Clemson needs teams that it beat to do well. That's why you root for Radford, who lost. That's why you root for Lipscomb, who lost. Because it makes your resume look better when you beat those teams. That's why you root for Wofford. Because Wofford is a team that's getting in regardless. So you'd rather not an extra team get in. You root for outcomes for teams you don't care about or don't like. Because ultimately, you like the team you root for more than you hate the team that you root against. Now, I can't help you if you root against South Carolina harder than you root for Clemson or root against the team harder than you root for something. I don't even know. I can't even get in that headspace. I don't even know. Here's the worst case scenario, okay? Worst case scenario if you're a Clemson fan and South Carolina wins exactly one game in the SEC tournament. You're at the water cooler. Your obnoxious Gamecock friend says, hey, did you see South Carolina playing well down the stretch? You look at that guy and say, thank you for giving us a quad one win. That's the only thing that you have to deal with. That's it. That's all. Like, what is there to lose? You don't even lose the conversation. You're right. Congratulations. We enjoyed you making sure that we get in the NCAA tournament. That's what you say to your buddy. If this is about water cooler talk, not one of the Gamecock fans crowing at work, you don't even have to deal with that, Kelly.
Crowing.
Classic.
Kwok, why do you paint your average Gamecock coworker as obnoxious? I mean, that's not all
I'm
of
trying
them,
to
Kwok.
I'm trying to get into the shoes of someone who would rather Clemson do worse so that South Carolina never has a moment of joy. That's what I'm trying to get into. That's what I'm trying to do right now.
I understand.
All right, before we get to Stockwatch, and we may just bump Stockwatch a second, we'll see how this works. These are your all-ACC basketball teams.
I want to let you know I have a serious beef with one of these selections.
Okay. First team, Zion Williamson, number one. He got 350 votes. I think that's unanimous. I think he was unanimous in the first team. RJ Barrett, DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, Cameron Johnson from North Carolina, Kyle Guy, Virginia. Any problem with the first team there?
No, Not necessarily. I think that's fine.
Honestly, I'm a little surprised, and statistically I haven't like crunched the numbers on this really, but I'm a little surprised that Luke May is second team and Cam Johnson's first team, but that might just be the publicity of it.
Well, Cam Johnson is North Carolina's leading scorer.
Right.
By about 2 points, actually evenly, 2 points per game. So I can see how you'd put that on there, even though Luke May, I'm sure, is their leading rebounder, right?
Leading rebound. I mean, he assists, like he fills the stat sheet up.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke May was the leading vote getter on the second team. And then the rest of the second team, Kai Bowman from Boston College, who was their only player of consequence.
There's my beef right there.
Kai Bowman.
Do you want to continue the teams or do you want
me
to?
Well, we'll just go through the second
team.
Go
through the teams.
Ty Jerome is on the second team as well from Virginia. So you got a lot of first names there.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe White and Kerry Blackshear from Virginia Tech, though that's your second team. And you have beef with Bowman.
This is a no-brainer to me. And it's not just because I'm wearing orange-colored glasses or someone might accuse me of that. Marquise Reed should be on the second team, Kai Bowman on the third team. Their numbers are almost identical. And Clemson won more games. Why on earth is Kai Bowman second team? What is that? What is that?
I can't answer that.
That makes me kind of mad, to be honest. That's ridiculous. Marquise Reed, we don't talk about this enough, Kwok. And I'm a little fired up right now. If you take RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson out of the picture, Marquise Reed is the leading scorer in the conference. Marquise Reed is the third leading scorer in the conference, both by overall stats and conference-only stats. It's not like his numbers dropped when just ACC play started. This guy is the third leading scorer in your league. His team finished with, I'm going to look at the exact amount of wins that they had more than BC, but BC won, what, six? And Clemson won 9? Why on earth is Kai Bowman second team and Marquise Reed is not? That is stupid. I digress.
You want to know why? Kai Bowman's points, rebounds, assists, 19.2, 7.5, and 4. That's it.
More rebounds? More assists.
Rebounds and assists. Assists. It's the full stat line. And they basically are scoring the same amount of games. Like, if you rounded to the nearest whole number, they're both averaging 19 a game.
How many
wins
does BC have? I need to see. I'll be honest with you. I did not realize Kai Bowman was grabbing 7.5 rebounds a game. That surprises me.
That kind of rocks socks.
And
I didn't realize that either.
That's impressive. I'll give him that. And I think Kai Bowman is a great player. I'm not taking anything away from Kai Bowman, but we always, you know, in a lot of ACC teams, if you're the leading scorer on a bad team, you're most likely not going to get a high honor. Boston College won 5 ACC games this year. 5. Clemson won 9.
Our friends at Basketball Reference do win shares and efficiency, player efficiency. Marquise Reed, in terms of win shares, worth 4.9 wins this year and a 24.1 player efficiency rating, which is awfully good. We can put that in context of the conference as well. Kai Bowman, 3.9 win player, 19.8 player efficiency rating. So if you're just using those two stats, which I guarantee a lot of voters weren't, mm-hmm. a lot of voters just going points, rebounds, assists, going with the normal stats, you would go Bowman. But if you look at win shares, player efficiency, that kind of stuff, you would certainly have a better case to make for Marquise Reed.
Kwok,
as
Marquise Reed this season, I didn't realize this either, 5.6 boards per game.
He's rebounding the heck out of it.
5.6.
Ninth in the conference in win shares. Ninth in the conference in win shares, Marquise Reed, 4.9. Zion Williamson, 6.5.
Marquise Reed should be on the second team, Kai Bowman on the third team. I believe that 100%.
I don't disagree.
That is ridiculous to me.
I don't disagree. It's hard to find, especially if you value efficiency over raw data. There's no question. I mean, Bowman is a really good player, but also a volume scorer. I'm 100% with you on this. Third team, Jordan Wara from Louisville, which that's kind of odd that he got the nod over Marquise Reed even on the third team. Reed is second, followed by Tyus Battle from Syracuse. Alexander Walker from Virginia Tech, and then John Mooney from Notre Dame. We're all third team. I don't really have beef with those.
No, I'm fine with the, like, those 15 players that are honored, I'm good with that. But to put the third leading scorer on a 500 team in your league on the third team, and to put the fifth leading scorer in the league on a 5-win team on the second team does not make sense.
And again, I don't disagree.
This is part of, we tend to look at more things than your average voter. Your average voter's not looking at all that stuff. Would you agree with that?
Well, if your average voter's just looking at points per game, then you'd see Kai Bowman's averaging less points less per points game than per Reed, game. And he's on a 5-win team.
Right. But you're also looking at rebounds and assists. You're looking at the stats they give you, probably.
So because he averages 2 more rebounds per game and 1 more assist?
Yeah.
Well, that obviously didn't matter to his team's wins.
I don't understand why there's a 59-point gap there. That's what I don't get. I don't understand the 59-point gap.
To me.
I don't get that. Honorable mention, Fiondu Cabangeli from Florida State was an honorable mention just beneath John Mooney from Notre Dame. Then you have Cam Reddish, who I think is a little underrated on this, to be quite honest with you. And then Trey Jones from Duke, Terrence Mann, and Elijah Thomas. So Thomas gets an honorable mention as well. And Texter points out, nobody from Florida State in the top 3 teams.
Wow.
Only 1 from Clemson. Those are 2 NCAA tournament teams. Only 1 from Louisville. Notre Dame. Wait a minute. Notre Dame and Boston College got as many players in all-conference team as 3 NCAA tournament teams. Syracuse, Clemson, and Louisville. And 1 more than Florida State, who got 2 honorable mentions.
Florida State is such a, they do everything by committee.
It is crazy to me that their top vote getter was their 6th man.
Yeah.
Ran away with 6th man of the year and should have in Cabangeli. But that they're like, that says a lot about who Florida State is this year, that the player that's probably the best and the player that got the most votes for all conference is their 6th man. It's a Marvin Williams situation. ACC Player of the Year, Zion Williamson, and R.J. Barrett, DeAndre Hunter got 4 votes, and Kai Bowman got 1 vote. That's probably why.
What is up with people's fascination with Kai Bowman?
Got a vote for ACC Player of the Year? Now, to be fair, you might, again, if you don't have access to some of this information.
Well, Kai find Bowman, it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You should educate yourself. But
if
you
Google.
Look at if you look at Boston College and say, who is their second best player and go N.A., they don't have one. Popovich
is who I would think of.
You freaking kidding me right now? Then you might go, that team would have won no games this year without Kai Bowman. You might say that.
So put him on the 3rd team. You know, I'm
player
fine.
Player of the year
I'm
in
fine
the league.
Rewarding a guy who had a really good individual season, but not on the 2nd team over a guy who also had a really good individual season and played in games of more consequence and had to play well down the stretch for his team to win 9 games and possibly make the tournament.
Here's an interesting one, and I guarantee you what happened here. ACC Rookie of the Year. Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett. Zion Williamson, 47 votes. R.J. Barrett, 21. Kobe White had 2. I guarantee you somebody said, Zion Williamson is my player of the year, and my player of the year and rookie of the year are not the same. Because Zion Williamson got 2 more votes for player of the year than he got for rookie of the year, which is madness. How can you be the best player but not the best rookie? And it's because somebody didn't want to vote Zion twice.
Yeah.
And I bet that's where Kobe White's 2 votes came from. Because otherwise it seems pretty normal. So that's how that shook out. ACC Coach of the Year. We get to this now. Tony Bennett, a runaway winner in the Coach of the Year voting, which I think that's a – I mean, maybe that's who should have gotten it because they rebounded from the devastation of last year to have maybe it the best regular season
Are
team
we
in terms
name
of balance.
That trophy after him? Has it Perhaps. Not become the Tony Bennett Memorial? No, well, not Memorial. That would be bad. The Tony Bennett Coach of the Year Award.
That's the 4th time. 4th time he's gotten it. He was recognized in 2014 and 15 and has won it the last 2 years. So 14, 15, 18, 19. Coach
Honestly,
of the year.
You know who should have been Coach of the Year? Roy Williams. I think Roy Williams should have been Coach of the Year.
I kind of think what Roy Williams did, what Buzz Williams did, to me, is up there with what Tony Bennett did.
Quack, I'm still on Kai Bowman. How does Bowman get more votes than Ty Jerome, Kobe White, Kerry Blackshear? How does he get more votes than those guys?
How does he get more votes than Cam? Is
Kai Bowman's
is he better
dad,
than Cam Reddish?
Joe Bowman, media member. What is this?
I don't understand. Ty Jerome.
The fix is in.
Our guy Phil says, give me Ty Jerome over Kyle Guy. I agree. I love Kyle Guy.
Classic
give me
ACC
Jerome over Kyle
favoring
Guy.
Boston College. Classic. That Boston College bias is just real.
You had the. I'm sure somebody from the Boston Globe said Kai Bowman was their play of the year. I'm sure that's what happened.
Get out of here, Boston Globe.
Anyway.
Go cover the Celtics.
You had Tony Bennett 1. Think about these great coaching jobs this year. How are you supposed to choose between these? Tony Bennett 1, Buzz Williams 2, Roy Williams 3, Leonard Hamilton, 4. That was 12, 11, Leonard. And 10 points there. And then Chris Mack had 7 votes at 5. They had a rough February, but at the start of February, I think Chris Mack would have won this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think Chris Mack would have won this. I think Buzz Williams got more votes after, because they kept winning kind of, after old boy Robinson went out.
Yeah, he handled that injury well. And again, you look at what Virginia Tech accomplished this year and what Blackshear did, and you're going to vote Bowman over him?
They sort of changed horses in midstream, Virginia Tech. They went from being a very offensive team, explosive, and I even said they guard a lot better. I've talked to folks at Clemson about this. They played a Justin Robinson team, and I think they agree with this, that Virginia Tech is a tougher defensive team without Robinson because of who had to play and how they had to play without him. They changed from a team that wants to score and push and do some different things and not care as much about defense to a team that guards really hard.
Quack, I'm a huge fan of this. Marquise Reed just tweeted 10 laughing crying emojis. Marquise, wow. I am with you.
Yeah.
I am with you.
Particularly for
third
on
leading
the Bowman.
Score in the ACC on a team that has a good chance to make the tournament and your third team all ACC. Mm-mm. Nope.
How about this? I'm going to do this. All ACC defensive team and ACC defensive player of the year. This is bizarre, okay? DeAndre Hunter, ACC defensive player of the year, 46 points. Trey Jones, 19. Okay. Davis Carr had 3 votes for player of the year, defensive player of the year. Trent Forrest had 2 for Florida State. Scar, not on the all-defense team. Guess what they did, Kelly? Guess what they did? They rewarded Zion Williamson for being good at stuff. Nobody voted in player of the year, but Zion Williamson got the Michael Jordan, LeBron James. He scored a lot of points and also guards sometimes. Defensive team nod. DeAndre Hunter, Trey Jones, Zion Williamson, Elijah Thomas, and James Banks, the third from Georgia Tech. So that's the obligatory Georgia Tech inclusion on a team.
You got to put them somewhere.
Most improved, Jordan Wara from Louisville, edged out John Mooney from Notre Dame, who was basically Luke Harangody this year on a bad team. Cameron Johnson got 5 votes. Kevin Gilley got 4. Kerry Blackshear got 2. Chris Likes from Miami got 2.
They didn't put Cam Reddish on the all-freshman team?
No. Zion Williamson, Kobe White, R.J. Barrett, Xavier Johnson, Trey Jones.
How does it feel to be the one and done of the 4 that didn't make
fourth
the all-freshman team?
The fourth wheel. Cam Reddish.
That's interesting.
Sixth man of the year. Who didn't vote for Kevin Gilley? Who voted for DJ Funderburk from NC State or Jared Wilson praying for Pitt or Nas Little from North Carolina, Braxton Key from Virginia? Who didn't vote for Kevin Gilley?
Probably people that think that Leonard Hamilton's just trying to get Kevin Gilley the sixth man of the year when he should be a starter. You know, the coaches that bring the person off the bench that should be in their starting lineup.
Yes.
Sometimes you can get annoyed with that when you're voting. I could understand that, but there's no doubt Kevin Gilley is your sixth man of the year.
What a joke that is. He should have been unanimous. People get a little frisky with the. There's no need to get frisky. Okay.
Eli, second straight year all defensive team, right?
Yeah.
That's big time.
Really good. 654 roars the number. We'll go to Delvin's phone call and hit. We'll get to some. You know, if you want to call and talk all ACC teams, we can do that. Kelly's still mad about Kai Bowman over Marquise Reed,
mad.
And we'll maintain that. And hopefully, it'll be a feisty stock watch.
I will not stand for this Boston College bias, Quack. I won't.
Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Dabo Sweeney. One of the things that makes me proudest about being the head coach at Clemson is participating in the most exciting 25 seconds of college football, running down the hill after rubbing Howard's Rock. The roar from the crowd is deafening. Even though Howard's Rock is one of Clemson's most prized possessions, most of the time it sits all alone. That's why we depend on Priority One Security's video surveillance to keep Howard's Rock safe and secure.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
At Toyota of Easley, every new Toyota comes with 2 years, 25,000 miles free maintenance. The Toyota Care Plan is a no-cost maintenance plan with 24-hour roadside assistance. And Toyota of Easley gives away $1,000 every 2 weeks. All you have to do to enter to win is test drive a car. If a used car is what you're looking for, Toyota of Easley has a huge selection of certified used Toyotas with a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Call 855-2233 or visit Toyota of Easley, 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
This is George Jeffries again with Metal Building Supply in Piedmont. Do you have nuts? Well, we do, and bolts, panels, trims, and all the accessories you would need to do that shed project or roof on your home. Give us a call and talk to Kevin Brown. We can offer the names of contractors in the area and help you with the materials you need to solve those problems on your commercial building or your home. That's Metal Building Supply, 1500 Elrod Road, just off exit 39 and I-85 in Piedmont. Or call 295-0506 and ask for Kevin.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case. But they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
The Thompson & King Law Firm, 222-0200, or online at thompsonking.com.
Pollen turning your car yellow? Join the club. At Spinks, we get it. We hate pollen. You'd wash your car every day if you could. Well, with Spinks Car Wash Club, you can. With unlimited daily washes starting at just $19.99 a month and over 45 locations, including our new tunnel washes on Rutherford and Pelham, Spinks makes it easy to put pollen in its place, anytime and anywhere. Get your first 2 months half off when you join the club at Spinks.com.
Spinks, making life easier.
It's daylight savings time, and that means big savings for you at Kraft Stove Store and Patio. Save 20% off all in-stock and special order patio furniture from names like Tropitone, Summer Classics, Lloyd Flanders, and more. It's time to get out and grill with savings on Weber, Big Green Egg, Broilmaster, and much more. Shop and save today on our already low prices. It's all at
Kraft Stove Store and Patio.
Relax. Our Founders Federal Credit Union Clemson debit card is a slam dunk. If you bleed orange and purple and want to show your team spirit, get your Founders Clemson debit card. Visit our Clemson office, any one of our more than 30 locations, or call 1-800-845-1614 to order your debit card today and have it shipped directly to you. Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Go Tigers! Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
Okay, whoever wants to talk, go ahead.
Now, back to Quack and Kelly.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my...
Hour number three of Out of Bounds continues. This hour brought to you in part by Cycle Bar. They're located in downtown Greenville next to Yeehaw Brewing. Look, guys, if you're as fired up as me, if you're as mad as me about these all-ACC teams, if you want to get some of that frustration out, the best way to do that is to get on a bike and just ride. Just get it out, Quack, at Cycle Bar in downtown Greenville. Greenville's only premium indoor cycling facility. They have a state-of-the-art cycle theater with a stat system, music video capabilities, and dynamic lighting to make your ride unforgettable. They do themed rides. They do private parties and group rides. All that stuff is available. Check out their website, greenville.cyclebar.com, to reserve your premium indoor cycling session today. Every first ride is free if you just want to go check it out. New riders, they give you a locker and a water bottle, and they really take care of you. You do not have to be fit to get fit. That's one of their mottos at Cycle Bar. Again, check out that website, greenville.cyclebar.com, to reserve your premium indoor cycling session today.
Really a bizarre couple segments. The show really took a turn there. It took quite a turn. Let's go to Delvin, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Delvin?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great. How are we doing well?
You said I agree with you about 10%, but you also got a two team like Nevada, too, and Houston in the American Conference. If they lose another team, they're going to take another bid away. Outlaws bid. So you got two teams like them as well.
Well, right now, I think for Nevada, because they're, I think Nevada's a two seed in there. I'd have to go look. I think they're the two seed in the Mountain West, and Utah State's the one. So technically, if Utah State won and Nevada didn't,
then the math wouldn't change all that much. Actually, if Nevada won and Utah State lost, it might knock Utah State out. We'll see. I kind of think both of them are getting in. If somebody else got in, though, it would be a little dicey. But I definitely get your point. Gonzaga's another one. They play in the semifinals against Pepperdine tonight, who they should truly destroy. And then they play St. Mary's, and if Gonzaga doesn't beat St. Mary's, then that's another bid thief for sure.
Yeah, and I want to get y'all guys take on the fans going out to Joel Lee for suspending Will Wade. I can't see what they were saying on TV, but the sign to my free Will Wade, are they ridiculous or what? They booed him and said some derogatory things to him. He trying to protect your school, but they trying to protect you, and you going to boo him? It's unbelievable. And guys, y'all dream came true. Alex Hornibrook is at Florida State now. I guess he's going to show James Bettman how to hand the ball off real good.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how much slower he can get on that release. Delvin, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. We're going to get to the Will Wade stuff. In fact, let's get to the Will Wade stuff right now as part of Stock Watch.
Who's got worth this week? It's time for the Stock Watch on Out of Bounds.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
I don't know where you get your information, son, but I don't like it.
Well, life all comes down to a few moments. This is one of them.
Roller coaster, ups and downs, you know that.
Not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
Clock, I want to start in college basketball with Stockwatch. And, you know, Delvin is so on top of things. He always knows what's happening in the world of sports. And because of that, sometimes he steals my Stockwatch. But that's okay. That's okay, Delvin. I appreciate your knowledge. There's no doubt about it. Stock up. We're sticking in the SEC for some stock up, stock down in college basketball. Stock up to the Auburn Tigers. We've talked about how Auburn, early on in the year, they pushed Duke. And everyone thought Auburn was top 10, all these things. They've fallen off. They've fallen out of the rankings. But they get a big time and much needed win against Tennessee. They beat the Vols 84-80. Huge win for Auburn. And knocked Tennessee out of a share of the SEC regular season title, which was really interesting. But Auburn played really well. Three guys in double figures. Stock up to the Auburn Tigers. And Kwok, look at this. This is a main part of my stock watch is the three ball, of course.
Of course.
13 of 34 from three. For Auburn. 13 of 34. That's about 40%, but you make 13 of them.
Not too bad.
Big day from beyond the arc for the Fighting War Eagles. So that was a joke. I don't want anyone to think that I actually think that. So stock up to Auburn. Big win for them. Kwok, as Delvin said, stock down to LSU fans. What is wrong with y'all? Did you see how they reacted when LSU played Vanderbilt in their final regular season game? They were chanting free Will Wade. And they were booing and chanting, Joe must go, talking about Joe Oliva, the AD. Some of the signs, here's a picture of some signs. Will Wade for AD, free Will Wade, fire Joe Oliva, free Javonte Smart. What are you guys doing? What is up with these LSU fans? You really think this is Joe Oliva's fault? That your coach is trying to pay for all these players and, you know, being wiretapped and just blatantly cheating? That's your AD's fault? That's the guy that you hate because he suspended him?
This is a classic case of we hate this guy, so whatever he does, we're going to ruin his life over it. They were mad that he hired Orgeron in football. Well, that hadn't turned out the worst, right? It's not turned out the worst.
Hey, I'm trying to have a press conference.
Then he hires Will Wade, who takes LSU to a share of the SEC title. But he won the SEC regular season. For crying out loud. And it turns out they cheated to get it. And that's Oliva's fault and not Wade's. Not just mad at Oliva. I can understand if you're mad at Oliva for hiring this guy who may have cheated at VCU and now is cheating at LSU. But they are actually mad at Oliva for suspending this guy and holding a player out that's probably going to be ruled ineligible by the NCAA.
For quote unquote eventually. Doing the right thing. Now, maybe you don't hire Will Wade in the first place because, like you said, if they're mad about that, okay. But they're obviously not because the signs say free Will Wade. Basically, they don't care if they're cheating. They just want to win. And I think this is not a good look for LSU fans. To give a pop culture example, Kwok, have you been up to date in any shape or form on the latest Kardashian drama? No? What I find annoying about this is when, okay, basically, you're blaming the friend, Tristan Thompson in the cheating scandal. You're blaming the friend and not Tristan Thompson. That's what I think is happening here. Blame the dude who actually did the crime. Blame the guy.
Wait, Tristan Thompson cheated?
Yeah, again.
It's with a friend?
Multiple times.
With a Kardashian friend?
Point is, people are mad at the girl and not Tristan Thompson. Don't be mad at the athletic director. Be mad at Will Wade for doing this. That's my point.
If they, let me say this. If LSU didn't hire Will Wade, guess who they'd have been mad at?
They'd have been mad at Joe Oliva for not hiring him. Yeah.
Like a texter says, Kelly, honestly, do you think Oliva didn't know anything about what Wade was doing?
No, I'm not saying Oliva's completely innocent here. If it comes out that he knows stuff, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't.
They are.
But he has no other choice in this situation than to suspend Will Wade. And for fans to boo him and say free Will Wade, I thought is just a really bad look.
That's the opposite question that needs to be asked. That's a fair take to have. And if Oliva knew, then he should be strung up just like Will Wade. But like I said before, the fans aren't mad that Oliva's too scummy. They're mad that he's not scummy enough to just let this thing keep playing out. That's what was interesting about
that. That's a great way of putting it.
Stock up to Antonio Brown, who snuck in with the Raiders. Stock up to Brown. No one wins in this because I don't think anyone has super confidence in John Gruden and what he's doing with the Raiders. Right? I mean, we're not just going to say, oh, now it's going to work because they have Antonio Brown. So I'm not willing to say the Raiders are the big winners here. The Steelers clearly lose because they got a third and a fifth, and that's it for maybe the best player in the NFL, maybe the best receiver in the NFL, should say. Maybe. I wouldn't say that. I'd say top five, though, and probably top three receivers in the NFL, and I'm biased toward Nuke Hopkins, but that's another thing. The real winner is Antonio Brown, who got more guaranteed money, more financial security from the Raiders after whining and undermining his team at every turn for an entire season. That is the winner here because he showed that being a petulant child works in the NFL because you get what you want. It hurts the team that employs you. It helps the team that gets you to not have to give up quite as much so now they can build around you. So the ultimate winner here, regardless of what happens on the field, regardless of whether this is a good marriage or a terrible marriage with the Raiders, regardless of what happens there, there's no question Antonio Brown wins here. No question. He gets like $12 million more. The Steelers are hit with a $21 million cap hit. The Raiders are stuck with him now, and they basically hitch their wagons to him voluntarily, so you can't act surprised if he goes ham, right? Antonio Brown, best case scenario for him, honestly, except for maybe going to a Super Bowl contender. That'd have been the other thing. So that's why I said stock up to him. Is that a fair analysis of the situation to you, Kelly?
I see your point.
Yeah.
I don't think really anyone wins in this situation, but technically Antonio Brown wins because he got what he wanted.
Stock down to Vince Young. Vince Young got fired by Texas, which is basically the only place that would have hired him for anything.
Oh, man.
He gets a DWI once a quarter. He was fired for basically not showing up to work or doing anything at his job. It's essentially what it was. Now, I also saw a take that says this is a horrible look for Texas because opposing recruiters will say they did not support Vince Young after. Like all the schools always say, you're a Longhorn for life. Well, they just fired the greatest Longhorn in the last 15 years.
But they've also tried to help Vince Young every step. It gets to a point where you just can't help the guy anymore. And it's not worth employing him.
Yes.
He wasn't showing up for work. He wasn't doing anything.
And he was getting DWIs.
Yes,
once a
and that.
Yeah. So, stock down to Vince Young for not being able to keep a job at his alma mater, who clearly wanted to employ him as a development officer.
Which, in other words, means show up, look pretty, and people will give more money.
And, right, and try to raise money. Right. Classic.
Okay. We're going to the NBA here. We weren't even there yet, so we can't go back, but we're going to the NBA. I think these two stories are really interesting, and they both have to do with, don't be shocked, the three ball. Kwok, if I asked you, which team shoots the three better? Which team would you expect to make more threes in a game? The Toronto Raptors or the Golden State Warriors? What would you say?
I would say Golden State.
You would. Not the case. Stock up to the Toronto Raptors, who last night, Kwok, knocked down 21 threes in a 125-104 win over Miami without Kawhi. Kawhi sat due to load management, and the Raptors went out there and made 21 of 40 threes. 21 threes. Kyle Lowry hit six. Every starter made at least one three. Danny Green made five. They were just absolutely on fire. And when asked after the game you know, what happened? What was going on? Kyle Lowry said, we've had good weather. My body was warm. It definitely helped. So does that mean that if a team in Canada really can't be a good three-point shooting team for a whole season? I'm not sure. But stock up to the Raptors. And then this is the main story here, Kwok. Stock down to the Golden State Warriors for losing to the Phoenix Suns last night at home. The Suns had lost 18 in a row before going to Oracle and beating the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors played uninspired. Steph Curry and Klay have both really struggled to shoot the three. Kwok, really, Steph has struggled since I went to see him play in Charlotte, so I'm feeling kind of the blame, and I feel bad. But did you see what Klay Thompson said after the game?
I did not.
Kwok. He said he called out the fans. He called out
what?
Golden State's fans. Okay? This is what he said. It's a long season. We've been playing a lot of basketball for 5 years now. It's been hard, Kwok. So you're not going to be perfect for 82 games. We've had too many missteps, but at the end of the day, that's the first time we've lost to that team in 19 games. So it's ugly, but I expect our crowd to be a little more into it. I know it's not the playoffs, but it's our last go around at Oracle. At least you can stand up or something when we make a good play, especially in the beginning. We need that energy, especially this time of year. He said, we expect our fans to bring that energy from the jump. It's like us, though. You can't bring it every night, but it still helps. It doesn't matter if we're playing the Suns or the Bucks or whoever. He said the fans weren't bringing enough energy, and that's why the Warriors lost to a Suns team that had lost 18 games in a row prior to that. What
the heck is that? First of all, he said you can't bring it every night, but you guys should bring it every
night. But it still helps. It still helps. Still, you need to.
You know what helps the crowd? Just devil's advocate. It helps the crowd when the players bring it every night. So if he's going to say, well, you know, sometimes, you know, we can't bring it every night, you can't bring it every night, but it helps when you do. As a fan, I would turn that around and say, you know what? It helps when you do, buddy. It helps when you're not giving up three after three after three. It helps when you're not giving up 130 points sometimes in the building.
We've always said the Warriors don't necessarily bring it every night. They just don't. I thought they looked a little bored in Charlotte. When I went to see them play, and they still won.
That is such an entitled thing. Because you're right. We know that if there's one team that just takes nights off just because they want to, it's the Warriors. Like, their culture basically says we can take nights off.
And the Lakers.
Well, that's a whole other thing right there. Hey, stock up to the Blue Jays. You know why we're stocking up the Blue Jays? Not because they're in Canada, obviously. That's a stock down. But the Blue Jays got a bit of good bad news when it was announced that Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's ripping up the AA and AAA circuit last year, Vlad Guerrero Jr. may not be healthy for the start of the season. Now, why is that good for the Blue Jays? Because the Blue Jays were destroyed during the offseason. When they had folks run out there, Ross Atkins, the GM, saying he's just 19, he's not ready for the big leagues. The guy had an 1120 OPS in AA, and a 978 OPS in AAA last year. He destroyed everything. He destroyed pitching in every moment. He's definitely ready. For them to say he's not ready is because they want to pay him. They basically want an extra year of control. So they have this thing in baseball. Just a quick explanation where if you start at the beginning of the year, then it starts your arbitration clock. But at a certain point in the year, you don't get credit for that year of service. So your arbitration clock doesn't start until the next season. That's why the Cubs didn't have Chris Bryant in the big league club out of spring training. And that's why the Blue Jays were not going to have Vlad Guerrero Jr. But this oblique injury gives them an excuse to say, oh, man, looks like we have to play him down in AAA for 6 weeks. And they don't have to bring him up. This is a win-win for everybody. Guerrero doesn't have to be on the field opening day for a team that's probably not going to win this year. And the Blue Jays get to an extra year of control. So stock up to the Blue Jays for getting an excuse now, whereas they sounded like idiots before that didn't know what they were talking about and were just trying to be greedy. Stock down to Sean Miller. I'll just say this briefly.
Yes.
Sean Miller sounded like fired guy.
He did.
When he addressed the crowd in Arizona. They've got the number one recruiting class coming in for next year. It ain't going to matter. They have bottomed out this year. They lost all their recruiting class. They fire an assistant every month. They basically fire an assistant every time Vince Young gets a DWI now. And so for being involved in some sort of issues with the NCAA, there's an ongoing investigation there. Sean Miller's being subpoenaed, like Will Wade, to testify in federal court. It's over for Sean Miller at Arizona. He spoke longingly and emotionally to the fans there after their game against Arizona State on Saturday.
This is basically the end of the road there.
Didn't he say thanks for everything? Wasn't that his quote? Something like that?
Yeah, it was like, I'll always remember, whatever. Yeah, and then he asked about after the game, and he did not assuage those concerns.
You know who's going to be the next head coach at Arizona, right?
Who?
Luke Walton.
You think so? I've heard that for UCLA.
I've heard it for UCLA, too, but I don't think people really thought that Arizona was going to get rid of Sean Miller.
That's a fair point.
But if they do, Bill Walton went to UCLA, but Luke Walton went to Arizona.
All right, we got to talk a little baseball. The Tigers got a sweep. We'll do that on the other side. Final segment of the program is coming up next.
Join 105.5 The Roar for the Mark Childress Show, sponsored by S.H. Carter, co-host of the Tiger Tailgate Show and weekend sports anchor at Channel 7. Mark Childress interviews your favorite players and takes a hard look at recruiting. The Mark Childress Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m., only on 105.5 The Roar.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Are you craving a juicy steak cooked just the way you want it? The Blue Heron in Clemson offers only the best selection of meats, sushi, sides, house-made pizza, drinks, and desserts. Join them for happy hour 7 days a week at the downstairs bar, open until midnight. Catch the game on big screen TVs with your friends. 405 College Avenue in Clemson. Call 864-653-3354 for reservations. Visit blueheronfood.com for full menu and more information. That's blueheronfood.com.
Local Q is the place to connect for food, friends, and fun. Have you made plans for brunch? Local Q has expanded their brunch menu to include a barbecue Benedict, house-made corned beef hash, and many more items to beat that hangover. Wash it down with a mimosa pitcher or our classic Bloody Mary. Keep the fun going with a little friendly competition. It could be one of their hundreds of nostalgic board games, pool, ping pong, Jenga, darts, or cornhole. Local Q, the place to connect for beer, barbecue, and board games.
Mickey Pollard here with another great offer from Zero Res. Spring is upon us, and so is the dust and dirt. Now through the end of March, mention Mickey Pollard and get 3 rooms of carpet clean for only $119 and a hallway for free. Get ahead of the spring cleaning rush. And did you know that Zero Res also cleans air ducts? Call for a free estimate, 864-558-7300, or book online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
The 2018 Bottle Blowout Sale rolls on at George Coleman Ford, where trucks cost less and travelers rest. Like a Ford Expedition XLT with four-wheel drive and leather. Suggested retail, $61,820. Sale priced at just $50,999. We're talking great deals at George Coleman Ford, with the fourth generations of Colemans taking great care of you. The 18 Model Blowout Sale at George Coleman Ford.
Everyone qualifies, all from good through April 4th, 2019.
How does Bojangles know how much seasoning makes their Cajun fillets perfectly seasoned?
I don't know. Taste testers?
How do I become a taste tester?
Get a Cajun filet biscuit combo or Cajun filet sandwich combo for $5. Bojangles, it's bow time.
The Mattress Outlet in Seneca is expanding their showroom to now have the largest available selection of mattresses to choose from than ever before. Save an additional percentage on our already low pricing on Queen and King. And yes, you still get your foundation for free. Choose from our increased selection of Serta and Beautyrest models and take your perfect mattress home today. Open 7 days a week, the Mattress Outlet in Seneca, off Highway 123 across from Chick-fil-A.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
Can't believe that a half-decent idea came out of your dumb mouth.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
Walking through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked-out jailbird sing.
The show took a bit of a turn. We hadn't talked as much baseball as I thought that we would in this show, but we will now. Out of Bounds. The release of the All-ACC teams gave us a lot to talk about. The snub of some Clemson folks, we thought, and some of the weirdness of it. Gave us some stuff to talk about. We've talked Clemson's bubble hopes. Other games tonight, just for your viewing pleasure. UNC Greensboro, Wofford, 7 o'clock ESPN. You better root for Wofford if you're Clemson.
I'm watching that game. That's going to be a fun game.
That is going to be fun. UNC Greensboro coach, former North Carolina walk-on / occasional contributor, Wes Miller. He was a walk-on first. Then Northeastern Charlotte. That's not on TV, but at 8:30, that's the old Earl Grant situation out there. So I just put that on the list. 9 o'clock, Pepperdine Gonzaga, ESPN. That's a semis of the WCC. Don't do it, Pepperdine. Don't do it. I mean, Gonzaga's going to win by 30, but don't do it.
There's no way the Zags lose that tournament.
I don't think so. Monmouth and Iona is the final in the MAAC on ESPN2. That league is not very good, so that game's probably not going to be very good, but I put it on there because it's a championship game. And then San Diego St. Mary's, ESPN2, 11:30. Again, if St. Mary's plays Gonzaga, there's a potential for bid stealing. San Diego, not quite as much. Not quite as good as St. Mary's is.
The major tournament of the major leagues, and I say major with quotes, right, because I'm talking about the Pac-12, if Washington doesn't win that Pac-12 tournament, that could be a little bit of an issue too, right, for Clemson?
Oh, 100%.
You need the Huskies to finish strong and not lose to, I don't know, Cal again.
Yeah, don't lose to Cal. No, in fact, nobody lose to Cal.
You should get
relegated with Cal to a lower level if you lose to Cal.
Put Cal and Oregon State in the West Coast Conference. Let's bring up St. Mary's and Gonzaga. Let's do this thing.
I've been an advocate for this for a while. Would never make sense, but I think it'd be so much fun. Over the weekend, Clemson baseball swept North Carolina. In conjunction with that sweep, D1 baseball knocked North Carolina all the way down from 3 to 15.
Wow.
This was a team that had not lost in the first three weekends one game. They lost a midweek game. They were 9-0 on the weekend. And Clemson beat them three times. Clemson back in the poll at 24, South Carolina at 22 at D1 baseball this week. It was truly, I thought, an astonishing series. And I thought Clemson had a shot with North Carolina, but some things had to go right. I thought Clemson had to play a lot better than they did against South Carolina. There was no doubt about that. What you saw from Clemson this week was pitching deep into games by starters. Remember, we told you, six innings combined by the three starters against the Gamecocks, that ain't going to work. That is not going to work. The bullpen basically had to get you like 60 outs in the series. They had to go like 20 innings, okay? They did have to go 20 innings. They had to get you 60 outs. The first game Saturday, from the starter, Davis Sharp, you got six innings. The second game Saturday, from the starter, Matt Clark, you got six innings. And on the game yesterday, from the start of Keyshawn Askew, you got 5 1/3 innings. So whereas you got 18 outs from your starters against South Carolina, you got 52 outs from your starters this weekend against North Carolina. So, I mean, you do the math on it. You got 2/3 away into two games. You got just more than a third of your outs you relied on your bullpen. And that is, I know the bullpen's the strength of the team, but that's so much better than what you got. And then they got into North Carolina's bullpen, which I thought was maybe the main strength that Clemson had, was that its bullpen, regardless of whether you get started, you know, linked from your starters or not, Clemson's bullpen's better than North Carolina's bullpen, at least early on the season.
Starters giving you six innings, or in Keyshawn Askew's case, five innings, that was the biggest reason, right, why Clemson was successful?
Yes.
Can you... Before you talk more about maybe the offensive side of this with Clemson, can you just walk me through what you were thinking during the balk off, please?
Well, first of all, when you go back to that ninth inning, you're down a run, but you play decently well. I mean, you're down 2-0. You scratch a run across in the seventh. You get to the ninth, and then, like, Michael Green has the infield hit. You got the walk from Ferry, so there's first and second, and Meredith gets a 47-hopper RPI single. And then you get a pinch runner, second and third. What I'm thinking is you're back at the top of the order with Sam Hall. I'm thinking just walk the guy. You don't want to face Davidson, but just walk him. Second, third, one out in a tie game at that point is not where you want to be. I do not want to draw my infield in with one out. I'm going to try to induce a ground ball. Even a guy like Logan Davidson at the plate, I'm going to try to get a ground ball and get an out. Mike Fox, Not a fan of that strategy. In fact, I really thought Mike Fox lost the game. I told somebody this. They lost the game in the eighth inning, seventh inning, one of those. Whatever inning it was where North Carolina had a long offensive half inning. Might have been the seventh. Where they had a long offensive half inning. They sent the pitcher back out. They brought the starter back out. And then and Mike Fox really should not have done that. It was after the bottom of the seventh. It was after the bottom of after the top of the seventh inning, where Hennessy threw a lot of pitches. It seemed like they were in there for a long time. They had a delay in there. It just seemed like a long frame. Brings the pitcher back out. Has to go to the bullpen eventually. But you got an error. Things just started coming unglued a little bit in the seventh for North Carolina. Just didn't quite fit. And so I thought that was a questionable decision. I thought yesterday he made a questionable decision, even more questionable, to throw Austin Bergner in the eighth after a long half inning offensively for North Carolina, where they scored two and Carson Spires threw a ton of pitches, like 32 pitches. There were like 40-some pitches thrown. They bring Bergner out in the eighth, and Clemson kind of hits him a little bit. I mean, right away, single, single, they go to the bullpen, and they scored on a pass ball. But if they understand the guy's at 90-plus pitches, I thought it was even more questionable than before when they kept their Friday night guy in there. If you go to the bullpen at the start of the eighth, I think North Carolina wins yesterday. I thought facing those two extra batters gave Clemson some life when they had North Carolina had just scored two runs. They had taken a 4-2 lead, and they sent the starter back out. They were at 91 pitches after a half inning that had to last at least half an hour. I mean, it was a long half inning offensively for North Carolina. That's what I thought happened.
I need to hear about the balk-off.
Now we got to get to the balk-off. So we get to the ninth, and second and third, one out. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you got to get the batter now. You got to get a strikeout. You know, Clemson may bunt with Sam Hall. You may try to do that. When he fakes to third, it was early in the at-bat. He fakes to third. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I know you can't, because the rule is a little bit weird. I know you can't fake to third and throw to first. I know you have to throw to third in that situation. But if you look at the rule, it basically says unless you step off the back of the mound, you can't fake a throw to third base. Just like a left-hand pitcher has to step off the back of the mound if he wants to fake a throw to first base.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If your foot is on the rubber, you can't fake a throw to first base.
And
you can't
do it. There were two balks, right?
Yes.
Back-to-back balks.
Well, no. It was a balk. It was just the one balk. Just the one.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay, it was just the one.
Yeah, it was just the one. But you had a single, a walk, a single. You had the error by the center fielder that allowed the advancement.
Yes.
And then you had the fake to third. And I think everybody in the ballpark, because you've seen that 100 times, you're like, oh, okay. But then it sort of started to go through the ballpark what was happening. You could see the third base umpire was right on it, and he pointed at the pitcher, and then he pointed home, and Elijah Henderson sprinted home.
If they're going to give you home, take it.
Yeah, so from that standpoint, you just got to figure out what's happening now.
See that I didn't see it, but I just saw on Twitter what had happened, and it seems so crazy, right? Clemson wins on a balk. What was the vibe in the stadium or in the?